From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 249, recorded live Thursday, January 13th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks about Web Matrix with Rob Connery.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And it's Microsoft Shell Week here on the Hansel Minutes. How's it going? I've got Rob Connery with me today. How are you, Rob?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you're a reformed shill. You used to work for the man, and now you don't work for the man.
I do.
And you used to actually work for me.
I did for a short time, unfortunately, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Short fun time.
So I was joking there. I said it's Microsoft Shell Week, but significant thing happened today. We're recording on the 13th, and that significant thing was that a bunch of stuff was released today. ASP.NET MVC3 and Web Matrix and Orchard and just a bunch of stuff came out today. But I wanted to talk to you about Web Matrix because this is not a product that I would really think you would have been interested in.
Yeah, and well, to be honest, it wasn't a product I was interested in. The first time I heard about it was actually when I still worked at Microsoft, and when it was called Plan 9. And I remember just thinking, well, that's a bold name for a project, And yeah, heard about what it was supposed to be and do, and I thought, well, this will be interesting. And then, Razor comes out and these things start happening and you hear about the angle that it's going for and you think, what is going on over there? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so you kind of instantly dismiss it. And I'm not sure why I did that. And I sort of actually feel bad about it.
Why do you feel bad?
Well, I remember, I think it was David Fowler wrote a post about, I think it's the Microsoft.data. DLL, it's the Web Matrix data access. Is that right?
No, I think it was a way of doing data access, but yeah, he did a post.
Yeah, well, okay. So it's just a thing, and it looked like this was going to be the way to do data access in Web Matrix, and I was just stunned looking at this, just thinking, really, we've passed so many milestones in the .NET realm. One of those being data access and understanding about SQL injection. No one likes to use SQL, on and on and on. There's a lot of really high-ended abstraction tools that Microsoft has. What are we doing here with, inline SQL? And I remember I tweeted this. I said, data access is hard. Let's go shopping. And I linked to David Fowler's post. And of course, I got a lot of, snide and snarky and funny responses. But now, after having used it, I'm completely hat in hand, hand over heart, the other hand over heart, thinking I was wrong.
Let me ask you this. One of my favorite quotes, and you know how quotes are on the internet, they go from person to person, and who knows who originally said it, but I think Jeff Atwood was quoting someone, some physicist or something, about strong opinions weakly held. Mm-hmm. I always think of you like that. Like, strong opinions weakly held to me is like, arguing with you in a bar in Vegas about something, and you're just like, you're an idiot. This is ridiculous. You're so intellectually dishonest. I mean, I can't believe that you would even, and then you realize somewhere in the middle that you're wrong and you go, oh, okay, cool.
Well, there's two things I think about that. I remember Jeff Atwood using that phrase, and I remember thinking it's typical Jeff Atwood. And I know that's going to sound mean of me, but that phrase is an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense.
There's nothing typical about Jeff.
Well, it's true. I mean, with all respect and love to Jeff, although I hate when people say that to me, with all due respect. Anyway.
Yeah. With all due respect, here's something mean I'm going to say.
I think, a strong opinion is a strong opinion because someone believes it deeply. By definition, that's not a weakly held opinion. So, but I know what Jeff meant. Jeff meant, you can talk me out of my position. And yes, I'm definitely that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone can learn if they're, really stuck in their own belief systems. But I do have my opinions, but those opinions, I like to think, are founded on research and understanding. So if you and I got in a discussion in Las Vegas, right, I would like to think I have facts at hand. And I've always said, you're one person I don't want to argue with ever, because you rally out facts as if I don't know, you have them in your pocket. Like there's Scott Hanselman's Geek Almanac in your pocket, right?
Tell it to my wife. Most of my facts are called into question.
Right. Well, anyway, to your point, I do have strong opinions, but the thing that drives me nuts a lot of times is when people just wave their arms and cite someone else, you know, said and so on. But in this case, we sat down, you and I, we cracked out a live site and it was enjoyable.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that because I work for the group that made WebMatrix, but I said to myself that, you know, do we need this toy IDE? You know, I do everything I need in Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. I don't want any, I mean, you know, I have lightweight. Right? Lightweight for me is ASP.NET MVC. I've got a lot of choices, a lot of flexibility. Although I always feel guilty, of course, when I write an MVC application and I don't have like robust unit tests and stuff. You know, do I really want a little cheesy kind of a thing to write my sites in? And then you and I have this other podcast, right? This developerslife.com. And you had written that in kind of custom Rob Connery, Ruby, Sinatra thing, right? That was our initial thing. Cause what happened was we were on Tumblr and Tumblr went down to the point where it was down more than it was up. And you said, this sucks. So then you switched it over to your kind of, you know, it was half static files, half Sinatra, if I remember correctly.
It was just so in case people are wondering, it's a CMS called Nesta. CMS.
Yeah. Nesta CMS, a Ruby Rails-based, right? Or is it only Sinatra?
Sinatra.
Sinatra-based, excuse me. CMS. And I wanted to get involved in that too, but, you know, I was thinking, all right, well, I'll install Ruby and I'll maintain the website. But it still seemed a little more complicated maybe than it needed to be. And then you just said, hey, let's use WebMatrix.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, I know it sounds strange, but I had toyed around with WebMatrix a little bit. And I think it was when Eric Hexter came to us with MVC Conf at TechPub. And he had said, wow, this WebMatrix thing is rad. He made the site in WebMatrix. Mm. So I kicked it up and tried it out. And sure enough, I was really impressed. And so I was thinking at the time, it would probably take me more time to get you set up on a VM, not to get you set up, you know Ubuntu, you know Linux, you know, but to walk you through, here's our VM, set up all these things, you know Ruby, you know these things, but it would just take time.
Yeah, and it'd be 4 to 6 hours of messing around just to get everything right so we could deploy in one click.
Mm-hmm. And for me, the chance to learn something is intoxicating. It's like you can't dangle a fat or carrot in front of me.
Yes.
And so I just was like, hey, man, beta 3, we got the release coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. We're kicking up in the next month. We're going to do a WebMatrix series at TechPub. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's just get started and deploy a site. This would be fun.
Okay. And so you went and did that. And then you called me, I think, you know, halfway through yesterday. It was funny because you got it up to a point where you're like, I'm done. I've learned what I need to learn. There you go. And you threw it in Dropbox.
Yeah.
And we have a shared Dropbox for the show. And you said, all right, I don't want to play anymore. You figure the rest of it out. And here's all the problems. And we basically did a little bit of pair programming as you got me up to speed. Pair programming over Dropbox is hilarious, by the way. He has WebMatrix open. I have it open. I hit save. He goes, ah, darn it. And it says reload. File has changed.
Yep.
No Git, no source control. Just, you know, we were just working on the same shared files. Basically, it was ridiculous.
Seat of the pants.
Seat of the pants. Total slop. And then you said, all right, I'm done. I got to go. And then I spent the next 4 hours kind of refactoring and tidying up and learning and learning and learning. And, you know, I think we probably spent more time getting deployment to work than we did actually writing the thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we were into it for about 6-7 hours, and that was about it. It was really easy.
Well, that's the thing that's really compelling to me about WebMatrix is as I was learning it, it was, and I call this process like 0 to 60, or I guess you can think of it as like trying to get through the learning curve into solving a business problem directly, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With tools like Rails and Sinatra, I mean, it kind of just scoots you along and you go at a pace. Mm-hmm. And Sinatra is so bleedingly simple. You can Google if you get a problem, how do I do this? And the solution's right there. Oh, okay. And then you learn it as you go. And I always had issues with when I was learning ASP.NET and MVC as well, mostly because this stuff just isn't out there or it's hard to find or, you know, nowadays it's probably simpler. But with WebMatrix, how do I do this with a helper? Boom, there's a blog post. And most of the time I was on your blog and I was moving.
Are you saying that this reminds you of the same style of Sinatra as far as the same style of how you learn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like sure. It's that light?
It is that light. It gets the abstraction right out of your way. Here's an example. I remember I was fretting over how do I deal with our URLs, because Tumblr uses a strange URL scheme where they append in a number and so on and so forth. And I thought, well, I'll just mirror a directory structure. Like, no, it's sloppy. There's got to be a better way.
Let me pause you for a second just to make sure people understand. We had an existing site at thisdeveloperslife.com that was run on Tumblr, and they had specific URLs with like slash a funny number, slash the title, da 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 da. We don't want to break our URLs when we switch over to our new CMS.
Right. And I was just thinking, well, I could mirror the directory. I could literally put in a directory like 1234, whatever it was.
Right.
And I'm like, that's sloppy. And so I thought, well, okay, I know there's a way around this. How do I do URL rewriting? And I found a couple posts and I realized, oh, geez, duh, it's URL rewrite. That's a hard word to say. Mm-hmm. And you just plug it into webconfig, and within 2 minutes I was done and move on.
Right. It's built in. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It's system.webserver rewrite. And then there's one rule you have. It's basically like three lines.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about it is there's no massive abstraction that you need to understand, which is like Sinatra. With Sinatra, you say get, and this is the URL you're going to respond to, and here's the code that's going to respond to that URL. And I loved it. I just sat there thinking, whoa, I don't need to understand some deep abstraction, some object graph. Let's just get to work. And it was a really good feeling.
As I've been playing around with this, I talked to Damian Edwards, and I was showing him some of the code. And he said something really, really interesting I wanted to share with you. He said, you're thinking too much like a programmer. Because I was trying to solve a problem, and I was focusing on a bunch of different things about a perception of what I thought elegant looked like. And he basically said, stop thinking like a programmer. He said, the only thing from a programmer perspective you should be thinking about is if you're repeating yourself. Other than that, anything goes.
And, pretty much.
And that was very interesting. I mean, like I'm looking, for example, at our default.cshtml file here. It's effectively a for loop. We say like var shows equals shows.recent for each show and shows. And then it's mostly HTML. There's actually more HTML in this app than there is code.
Yeah. And Damian makes a very interesting comment. And it's something that I've felt a lot working in the Ruby realm is, you know, what you're building is an interaction with a user. And really what you're trying to do is structure HTML that is going to represent your application. That's where your head should be. Now, does that mean, and see, there's going to be a lot of people listening to this show reacting strongly, oh, great, we're all going to be cavemen again. Not at all. So what you just said was actually something interesting. We centralize our logic. So our data call is centralized, and we don't repeat it. What you just said was really important. There is more HTML on this page than there is code, which, of course, there should be, but it's full of one-liners. It's all it is one-liner calls to helpers and everything. I love it. It's a scripted approach, that's for sure. It's not what, you know, I refer to as ivory tower component-based, let's overthink this, you know, when really all we're trying to do is structure HTML.
It's scripted. Now, you're using C#, but it doesn't quite feel like C#. I mean, like, for example, in our little show database, we're returning a dynamic. We have, like, public static dynamic find. And you basically, like, you go find a show and return a dynamic. And there's no IntelliSense because it's totally dynamic. And that took a while to get used to. It's almost like the fact that there's no IntelliSense for the code. There is for the HTML and stuff, but not for the code, what little code you do write. Didn't really matter because everything you're returning around is a dynamic anyway. And the database, you basically just say database.open, and then the object pops out of it with all the properties just sitting there.
That was one of the parts when I was putting this together that knocked me off my chair. Cause I started building out, an object model, you know, articles and shows and whatever. And, you know, when the first time I ran a query, I remember thinking, what is this doing? What's it returning? And in my head, I was thinking, it's going to return some obtuse queryable of something, something. And, you know, what I got back was IEnumerable dynamic. And I just thought, good grief, that is a bold step right there. That is unbelievable. And for listeners out there that don't understand dynamic, it's spinning up an object based on the names of the fields in your database. So we have a database called what is it called? It's called Shows, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but
something inside, like that. Yeah.
It's inside
full of Shows.
Yeah, and inside of it, there's columns called title and slug and description and so on. Mm-hmm. So to access that, you access it as if it's a property. And it, I just thought that is incredible. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no mapping.
Isn't that kind of active record-like?
A little bit. You know, Active Record adds an abstraction in for the query itself. So you're not writing raw SQL. Mm-hmm. And it structures the query for you, which in some ways is good. In a lot of ways, it's bad. Mm-hmm. For instance, I was answering questions on Stack Overflow today. Someone had a many-to-many join, and they're trying to do an all-in-one query so they can get everything back. Oh, boy. It's not so easy, but you have to figure it out with Active Record. With SQL, you know, yeah, it's easy. That's mm-hmm. a quick Google search. How do I join these, do enter joins on all these records? And off you go.
But people look at that inline SQL and they say, oh no, you know, now we're back to the past. We've just made classic ASP. Yeah. We're going to have injection attacks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, have you mm-hmm. found that to be the case?
Well, I was actually writing a post on WebMatrix right now. And, you know, one of the things that I observe in the community is those people tend to be the same people who don't want their HTML extracted, you know, or abstracted. They want to write their own. So I said, just think of SQL as HTML for data, really. You know, I mean, if you can master your SQL, you can master so much with your site. Now, does that mean everyone should be writing inline SQL? Of course not. And I think if you're a more seasoned developer, you're probably a lot more comfortable getting in there with WebMatrix and doing it. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, I keep thinking this is maybe a better tool for a more seasoned person. If a junior person's coming in and learning by this tool, they would probably need someone who's been working for years in web development to sort of hold their hand through them. Oh, no, you don't want to do that. That's a pitfall. You know, you don't want to append in that value that you've read off the form coming in. That's bad. You know, that kind of stuff.
Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place in time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself, get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/TELERIK, Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us. You know that they have that term you hear around Microsoft sometimes about falling into the pit of success,
mm-hmm.
right? The idea that you could goof up and still do the right thing. Did you mm-hmm. find that to be the case in working with this?
I did. It's funny. I feel like you're reading my blog post. I haven't published it yet, but one of the points that I also made in there was I was putting together a link. I forgot to what, but I needed to append in an extension. It was a link off to our MP3s. And so I was just trying to build it using some convention, putting the slug together and then mm-hmm. appending .mp3 to the end. So I was just going to like hurry up and do that in the code. Well, it didn't work. The parser didn't like seeing the dot there next to the value. I couldn't do concatenation. It wouldn't work. And at first I started cursing, but then I thought, let's just use a helper. And that's precisely what I did. And then I thought, well, I'll just use a helper for the whole music link altogether. Mm-hmm. Tightened up the code, right? And tightened up the UI to have a one-liner in it. And I thought, that just pushed me to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. That's just radical. I mean, just think that's wonderful. I mean, I can't expound enough on how refreshing that is to have an IDE and a language set like Razor push you to do drier code. I think that's great.
But aren't you not the target audience for this? I mean, we're here having a podcast about this IDE that if you ask, you know, a Microsoft salesman, he's going to say it's for the breadth developer, it's for the college student, it's for the person mm-hmm. that wants the simplest thing possible.
Well, this
we're professional developers. I mean, is it okay for us to want the simplest thing possible?
I think so. I mean, I could be mean and say that, you know, perhaps the people that are framing the marketing for this completely misunderstand the development community, but I don't think that's actually true. I see what they're trying to do, and I think this will appeal to, let's just say, a person coming out of college. However, I think there is a growing amount of people in the .NET realm, the Java realm too, the people that have learned web programming through these high-end structured languages that don't want to do it anymore because it's complicated, right? And a tool like this that does everything you need, that's not complicated, it actually appeals to the seasoned developer, I would say, more so, mm-hmm. because it covers the scabs, for lack of better words. Like, for instance, a lot of people might say, well, I've got this intense, like, adventure work style database. I need to mask it and abstract it through and Hibernate and map it so I have usable objects, on and on, right? No, you really don't need to. You shouldn't put a website on top of AdventureWorks anyway. What you could do is use WebMatrix, make it simple, have some sort of replication or other kind of scheme in the background. There's a lot of better ways to do it. And I think once you get to a certain level in your web development career, you start to see that there's easier ways to do things rather than hitting your domain model over the head within Hibernate.
I mean, do you miss testing? Like, don't you want this to, I mean, it's pretty fast and loose. I mean, to be clear,
yes,
our little site, I mean, one could argue, right, why didn't you just put it up in Tumblr? Of course we did.
Sure.
Because it wouldn't stay up. That's Tumblr's fault. I mean, we could have used Postgres or WordPress or whatever. Why did we write a little CMS rather than using one of the many cloud-based services?
We talked about going that route a number of times, and you know, we were thinking maybe WordPress, maybe whatever, but I think what you and I both found is we wanted to diddle around with the HTML pretty extensively. In other words, you found a really cool format that you liked, and we also wanted to stick in a tweet button in there and like a Facebook button. And some of those things are simple to do. Tumblr let us do that. Mm-hmm. But other places like WordPress and so on won't allow you to embed script tags for obvious reasons, right? They don't want you to hijack. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's restrictions out there, and I think you and I are hands-on control freaks, right? So having our own deal, we both have servers we have access to, so this is just too compelling. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
It sure seemed really simple to me. I mean, I realize we could have picked a number of places, but like you say, we have total control. It's one click to publish. It's lightweight. It was fun. That's one of the things. I mean, it's silly. Again, you have to try it yourself, I think.
Well, one of the moments for me that I thought was insanely compelling was last night, right? When we pushed the site, we're trying to tweak some CSS, specifically with a mobile theme. And I was holding my iPhone up to the video camera through Skype while you're changing files through Dropbox and WebMatrix. Mm-hmm. It's just that mix of technology that was going together seamlessly, quickly, deployment. I was just, literally that moment for me was one of the funnest moments I've had programming in the last 6 months. I mean, that says something about what it is we're doing. The fact that we could grease the wheels that quickly to get HTML up so I can hit refresh on my iPhone.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We were in Dropbox. I would type a bunch of stuff in the mobile view, hit publish. He would see Dropbox say reload at the same time it's being updated on your site, and then you hit refresh on your iPhone, so then I can see it from, it was pretty silly.
Well, the fun thing about that, Scott, is something I was saying earlier. We are addressing a business problem. We're not worrying about the technology, right? We are right on the problem. How does our mobile layout look? Mm. Right on it, right? And we weren't thinking about the code underneath it. But something else I wanted to touch on really quickly is, you know, we talked about the complex application. And, you know, sure, of course, writing a little CMS like we did, it's not even really CMS, but that's easy. You know, would I write TechPub on it? Somebody asked me, I think, James, would you write TechPub using WebMatrix? And sure, I would. But, you know, TechPub, we actually have some pretty deep technology that, you know, we have to marry things up with Amazon subscriptions and so on. You know, for that stuff, hey, you know, kick up Visual Studio. You write your logic in your domain model, if you like, put your decisions in there, but you drop your DLL right in the bin folder, just like you would any other way. So you still have your logic, but it's now encapsulated where it should be. And you know, you can still develop it using Visual Studio. But WebMatrix just simply pays attention to the front end. That's the way I like to look at it, at least.
Let's think about the people who are listening to this that are like, oh, there go Scott and Rob with their new shiny toys, you know, but I'm off getting work done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yay, good for you guys. What do you think the professional developer should know about this thing? I mean, I'm gonna, I got a buddy of mine. We do a little work on the side occasionally, and I'm gonna show him this, and I'll say, hey, you know, this could be for small sites we want to put together. This could be pretty easy, pretty lightweight, pretty fun.
Are you talking about expiredfoods.com?
Maybe expiredfoods.com. That would be good. That's a great business idea. We should quit our jobs and we should do that right now.
Exactly.
But then he could actually give this web matrix, IDE potentially to the slightly technical small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all configured and set up, and it runs on XP.
Mm-hmm.
And that person could, you know, kind of manage their own little site.
Sure.
And just hit publish.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason you can't have a complex domain model or whatever you want in the back end. Heck, there's no reason you can't plumb in an Hibernate or EF if you needed to. And then just have everything expressed visually through Web Matrix. I think, honestly, people's reactions are going to go along a very typical route. We saw it today on Twitter, or I did at least, with respect to CodeMesh, some pretty intensely negative reactions. You know, people are going to look at this as a validation or invalidation of themselves as a programmer, right?
Why do you think?
Well, because like people are saying, oh, we're going backwards now. You know, shouldn't we be going forwards into the future with shiny new things, right?
I think we're going sideways.
Well, we're going wherever. We're actually getting closer to the technology that we should understand. I think if people can, like, because I had this reaction too, and I'm completely saying mea culpa. I should have given Web Matrix a little bit more of a nod. Comes out, I say, okay, well, I'll just try it. Mm-hmm. And within 5 minutes, I was blissfully and happily hooked. And I think most developers out there, if they're willing to just give it a try, and this is where I get my shill hat and put it on my head, if they're willing to give it a try, it's absolutely intoxicating. And I pretty much think they're going to not want to go back. And this is where I get to take my shill hat off and say, any alternative Visual Studio is good.
Well, you still do work on the side. You do work, you know, on the side, rather. As a consultant, mm-hmm. when you're not doing tech pub stuff, you do Ruby mm-hmm. and you do .NET for money. Are you going to charge people for Web Matrix work?
Well, you know, it's funny. I that's all I do. Contract work is .NET stuff. So mm-hmm. when I'm not doing tech pub and other things, that's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my clients called me the other day and asked about this project they're thinking of doing, and. He's actually, they're a big enterprise and they use VB. He asked me to do it in VB. And I said, I don't know VB well enough. I can show you C#. And we kind of had that debate, which I'm sure a lot of consultants out there are used to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, actually a really cool alternative is Web Matrix. Really the only code you need to understand is Razor. There's some light C#-ness to it, but you really don't need to get too deep into what it is you're doing. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the package stuff that's available, you know, like the quick edit.
But actually let's back up, because I think you just said something very, very important, that web matrix is the IDE, right? And web pages, I guess, is what they're calling it, you know, .NET web pages, .NET web pages. It's effectively Razor, right? It's mm-hmm. It's all MVC underneath this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way to express that. It's basically views. It's only views, right? It's not MVC. Mm-hmm. It's just V.
Yeah.
But it's the same Razor syntax that you might already know if you've been playing with ASP.NET MVC 3.
Mm-hmm.
And since Razor, this is a funny thing about Razor, actually, internally, while they were arguing about what the syntax should be, there was all the design decisions and people trying to figure out what the simplest way, and it was all optimized to have the fewest number of characters, you know, to say something.
Mm-hmm.
I kept getting my eyes blur and kind of go cross-eyed when I was trying to figure out what the syntax rules were for Razor. Until someone said, stop thinking about it. Just type an @ and start writing code.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that there really is no Razor. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just the same stuff. It's the same code as I've been writing all the time.
Well, it's kind of funny.
Freaked me out.
Yeah, yesterday when you and I were coding, like the helper syntax, to me, I found to be really scripty and actually jarring. It reminded me of writing include functions in ASP Classic. And, you kick out these helpers, and when you were writing the methods, you kept writing return, you know, like return.
Yeah,
blah,
I kept
blah.
Doing, that's true. Yeah.
Dude, it's a helper. Like, what does that mean? Like, well, it's text right there. It's a void. It just appends into the response, you know? And it's kind of funny because you do have to wind your brain back into scripting thinking. Mm-hmm. It is still C#, but the interesting thing about it is it's sort of C# light, which is interesting to me because it's full use of dynamic. And I actually had this discussion with John Galloway 6 months ago, and I said, wouldn't it be funny? You too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we actually thought about writing this.
But doing an entire ASP.NET MVC project with nothing but dynamic. Mm-hmm. The model, everything would be dynamic, everything sent to the page, da-da-da-da. And lo and behold, that's what WebMatrix is, right? Mm. It's really funny.
So, I mean, it is certainly appropriate for the people that they're kind of quote-unquote selling it to. It's free, but they're the college students, the lightweight scripters, folks that want to get stuff done. But you're saying for the advanced developer who wishes things were more dynamic, were more loose, were more flexible, you know.
Or the guys that are like looking over the fence at Ruby, wishing, you know, or feeling like, whoa, Rails is so simpler, Sinatra is so compelling. Hmm. Hey, I think there's a lot to be said about this WebMatrix experience. I mean, I will say that I don't think C# is a very compelling web development language. However, C# 4 with dynamic is pretty neat. It's pretty interesting. I was trying to explain it to somebody that if you like dynamic programming, like if you like Ruby and Python, you can quite easily find yourself coding C# in that same way, like duck typing.
Well, actually, you know, one thing that was funny was that when you handed me the code, you were doing two things I think are interesting. That might be interesting to the listener. First thing, under posts, we basically have the HTML. We have a folder called post, and we have the HTML for each of our shows. So if you hit, you know, This Developer's Life and you click on a show like Getting Fired, our first show, that's actually a file on disk that's like 101gettingfired.cshtml. And in that file, you had basically two lines. You would set the layout, and then you would go and you'd get the show out of the database, and you put it into something that was called page data. Mm-hmm. And you basically put it in there so that other pages and other helpers and other things could pull that bit of context out. You did a very .NET-y thing. You said page data, square bracket, and then you went in, you know, an indexer, and you put the data in there. Page data, quote, some stuff. But then I was talking to Damien. He said, hey, why are you doing that? I was like, I don't know. I mean, isn't that where you put stuff? It's like session quote or cache quote. He says, no, well, the page object is a dynamic.
Yeah, said, that blew me away.
Page dot whatever. So I just said, really? I said, okay, page dot show equals shows dot find. Mm-hmm. And then the line where we were passing in the slug, I just said request.url, and then another brain, what's the word? In like a shift in my thinking, I was looking in the help for how to get the last bit of a URL segment, right? Mm-hmm. It's an array, request.url.segments, and I'm like thinking old school, right? I'm thinking old school C#. I'm messing around. I'm like, okay, length dot, you know, url dot segments at url.segments.length -1, da, da, da. And then again, reminded by smarter people than I, this is C# 4 and link, and I can just say dot last. So those little bit of syntactic sugar that I always am jealous about when I talk to Rubyists is slowly making its way into the language. So then suddenly I didn't have to hard code the URL. I pulled it right out of the segments. Segments.last. I mean, that's just, that was fun, actually. And then once we put that in, once we realized page was dynamic, then we went back and started deleting stuff. You know, things just got simpler. Yeah. It was very fun.
Yeah. And I think you went through, I remember, you know, you were telling me afterwards, you were just like, this is horrid. Or I forgot exactly what you were like, this is just get it done, throw stuff against the wall. You know, like, Scott, man, come on, we got a good site and it works and you're deleting code. That's the way it should be. But yet you felt uncomfortable.
It was,
and I think a lot of developers are going to feel that way.
I felt weird when you gave it to me first because it seemed, I kept thinking I could have done it this way, I couldn't have done it that way. But then I remembered, like you said, the business problem for us, which was we need a way to easily publish shows. It can't be a complicated thing. We need kind of infinite flexibility in the way that we do our page layout. And we want a tiny database, but we don't want to pay for SQL Server. So we use SQL Compact. We want it to cache. And we've got, and again, it's all on ASP.NET. And that's the other thing. Like, remember yesterday when you handed it to me, you just went to the database directly. We were trying to figure out, well, what's it going to take to do caching and stuff? Well, there's a helper called WebCache. Mm-hmm. And it was like webcache.get. If it came back null, go to the database. I mean, we added caching, I think, in like, you know, 2 minutes. And it just worked.
You know, this whole experience reminds me of an interesting debate my wife and I had when we were on the Big Island over the holidays. We went over there. My wife wanted to go running, but she had forgotten her running shoes. And I said, well, you know, just go barefoot. And she laughed at me. And I said, you know, seriously, the human body is built to run. Probably not long distances, but, you know, what they always say, if you look at a cat's leg, it's got three joints on it. Really, the leg, the thing they run on is actually their toes. And most animals are built that way. And I said, just run on your toes. We got into this argument in science and biology. My wife is she studies medicine and so on. So she, of course, felt violated with the story. And I said, no, come on. So she wouldn't do it. So I go to the running shoe store because I'm going to buy her some nice expensive running shoes. And we get there. And the guy says, have you seen these new Vibram?
Vikram Five Fingers? Or Vibram
Yeah,
five fingers.
Five Fingers, right. Yeah, yeah. And I said, well, yeah, those are pretty cool. They're for hiking. He's like, no, they're running. And I said, you're kidding me. And they have running toe shoes. And the guy said at the Honolulu Marathon this year, over a third of the runners are wearing these shoes. $50 toe shoes.
And toe shoes, to be clear, are like literally they look like slippers and they have toes. So there's like a slot for each of your toes. It's not a shoe as it is a rough sock with a sole.
Yeah. And the guy said to me something that I just loved. He said, your body is built to do these things. This just protects the bottom of your foot. Your body does the rest. You don't need these running shoes. And if you think about it, tying it back into what we're doing, I mean, running shoes are an abstraction. And what they actually end up doing is making you run wrong because you land on your heel, you end up injuring your knees and your legs, and pretty soon your body just implodes. Whereas, you know, the things that we've been talking about today, HTML, SQL, I mean, HTTP, right? Understanding these things, embracing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the web is built to run. Right? These things are built to do what they do. Perhaps removing the running shoes, it really is a good feeling. And I'll tell you what, when I put those shoes on, I bought a pair for myself and I ran around, I felt like a little kid. It was wonderful. End of story.
All right. Let me ask you this in closing then. If you're out there and you're using web forms now and you're looking at MVC, and now we've introduced yet another thing, right? Remember my whole car versus motorcycle mm-hmm. analogy, right? There's room for different kinds of vehicles out there, right? If WebForms is a car and MVC is a motorcycle, maybe WebMatrix is a little hybrid scooter. This could confuse a lot of people that really just want to go from place to place. Should WebForms people be freaking out? Like, you know, this new thing is out there, or is this just like more tools for the toolbox?
You know, it's interesting. Have you have a bike, right? A bicycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever sat on one of those high-end road bikes? You ever sat on the seat?
No, I think my brother has one of those. His bicycle's worth more than his car.
Right. So if you look at the seats, they're like a little piece of wood. I mean, it's just so uncomfortable. But it's not made to be sat in. You're made to feel the road. There's no shock absorbers. There's no nothing. My point here is that the first thing to overcome, if you're thinking about changing off of web forms, let's use that specifically, is to overcome the fear of change and to be willing to learn what it means, you know, what it is that web forms has been abstracting. And then once you kind of say, oh, okay, see how WebMatrix is embracing it. And, you know, again, don't stop there. Keep mm-hmm. going to other technologies and learn, learn what's out there. See, this is where I get to stop being a shill too.
All right. Well, you're obviously religiously excited about this, and I think that your excitement is infectious. You've got me at least making – I've made now one site with you. I'm going to start playing more with WebMatrix, and I guess you're going to blog about it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'll blog about some of the code that we wrote, and we'll all continue to learn.
Yay, and kudos to Microsoft for going in this direction. I really, really am amazed.
Very cool. All right. Thank you so much, my good friend Rob. And this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. And we'll put in a plug for our other podcast. Check out thisdeveloperslife.com. See you next week.
Hey, I have a question before we go. Have I been on this podcast more than Rory Blythe yet?
No, you've been on more than Rory at this point.
Woohoo!
Bye-bye, everybody.